1977. You must have been a pretty young man.
I was 11 years old in 1977 when Emmanuel Jacques was murdered.
Oh, I think I was just 17. And at that point, gay equaled pedophilia.
Yes.
Which kind of gallops through this book.
Right. Right, and it was that time. And, you know, shortly thereafter, the whole AIDS crisis was beginning, and same gender relationships or in the workplace were not even recognized in the Ontario Human Rights Code until 86. It was a real question. And unfortunately, yeah, there was this kind of muddling of waters where there was a, as you say, it was equated with pedophilia when in fact statistically that's not the case. Add to that a community that has a very low tolerance for homosexuality in many cases, you know, a kind of old world machismo associated with it, that just made things worse.
I was actually really jealous of your childhood because it just seemed so neat. Because there's a lot of scenes of running the rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about running the rooftops.
Running the roof. You know what? First of all, I want to say that I am absolutely thrilled that you see that. Because, you know, the premise of the story, you know, it's dark and gloomy and, you know, the Emmanuel Jacques murder. But the truth was, we were kids. And kids are resilient. And kids are have a sense of invincibility. They get on those rooftops. They run across those rooftops. Something terrible may happen. Within 10 minutes, they're on their bikes, chumming around with their friends, and the world continues. That's a real magical part of being a kid. And running those rooftops, something I did growing up, was freedom. The same way riding our bikes offered us a kind of ticket to a bigger world. I say this all the time, Yonge Street was an electric place. It was so different from the kind of conservative immigrant world we grew up in. I mean, if you put it into perspective, I grew up in the 70s. My sister was engaged at 21 and I was 17 and I would have to chaperone every time they'd go out on a date. Now, my brother-in-law, who is still my brother-in-law, I mean, he learned quickly how to slip me $20 and pick me up at a designated spot. But my sister couldn't leave the house. And it sounds like one of those Godfather movies, you know, where they're dating and all the women are trailing behind. But it was really conservative that way. It was hard.
The case that haunts the book? Kind of
haunts the book, because it's a great way of putting it. Yeah,
because it's not a character, Emmanuel Jacques, not a character that we really see other than a name. People in the neighborhood sort of know people who knew.
Yes.
Knew it. Yeah,
that's the way it works, right? That's the way it works in community. No one really knows. You don't really get the story, and certainly when you're talking about a community that, for the most part, didn't read English newspapers and didn't really understand, what they relied on was broken telephone. I mean, they just talked about it, and so much was rumor, gossip, conjecture, filling in the blanks. I mean, it was just all there, and it was important for me with my character Antonio to make sure that he wasn't aware of a lot also, that the only information he gets is from the snippet of newspaper he reads and from what he senses from the people around him that are so important to his life.
And there's this funny kind of double standard, because we have this horrific, you know, ultimate sort of child abuse, and, you know, an adult preying on a child. But then there's also a young girl who's been preyed on by her
stepfather,
and impregnated, and then, you know, kicked out by her mother. So the same elements are within the community, but the community is completely outraged about what has been done to it.
No, and exactly, and that's the world of secrets. It's the world that we think is so foreign to us is really behind our front doors. And that interests me. that fascinates me. Fascinated me, for example, that in the story, that stepfather could take advantage of the daughter that way, the stepdaughter that way. And everyone in the neighborhood knows that that happened, knows that that's going on, and that man walks down the street, and they tip their hat to him, and they say good morning. They don't like it, but they also understand and adhere to that old adage, what happens in this house stays in this house. And secrets are dangerous. They're extra dangerous when you force children to abide by them, to hold on to that. And I think that was really fascinating for me to play with the idea that these three boys, so tightly knit, know everything about each other, but will never talk about it. And I think that's just part of the way, certainly the way I grew up in that community.
Yeah, I think it's pretty common.
I think it's pretty common.
For anyone who lived in the 70s, you have nailed it.
I feel really good about that, that I was true to a kind of, in my research with all that kind of being very careful with the archival information so that it was dead on, spot on. And I think people would recognize the 70s quite clearly from this book.
The book is Kicking the Sky. I've been speaking with the author, Anthony Desa, and Kicking the Sky, published by Doubleday Canada.